Browns fans, welcome to the Zagura Zone. It's going to be our new kind of weekly talk show where I sit down with a Browns player, maybe a local celebrity, and we really just get to know them. So appreciate you tuning in. And Brianne Boddy Calhoun, our first guest, hand-selected. I might have you know, hand-selected first guest. Wow. Welcome to the Zagura Zone.
Thank you, thank you. Glad to be the very, very first one on the show.
Well, one of the reasons that I wanted to get you on the show is, you know, you think of football players, they're wearing helmets, you can't really get to know them. You can see your smile across the field. You're a guy that loves the game. So I just want to ask you from the beginning, where do you get this love of the game that you have?
I think it's all natural. It all starts when my dad introduced me to the game when I was 6 years old. You know, took me to a field similar to this one. Whole bunch of kids out there just running around, told me to put some dirty shoes on, put some dirty sweats on. And I just had a blast from day one, and I think it's just always been something that was just extremely, extremely fun for me.
Did you think you were going to be a cornerback that first day, or did you want to be a quarterback that first day?
Quarterback.
Yeah.
Quarterback. So we're going to blame mom for being 5'2", only allowing me to grow to 5'9", and kind of hindering that dream as soon as I hit high school, you know, senior year, it's time to get recruited. They're like, we want him though on the defensive side, you know, playing some corner, back, you know what I mean, backpedaling and stuff. So, still love her though. So,
of course, mm-hmm. Of course,
definitely love quarterback position. I wish I was taller so I could play it though.
Do you do some like fun like at practice? Ever throw the ball around and talk little smacks?
Every day. I walk past Kessler. I make sure I show off my 3-step, 5-step. You know what I mean, shoulder. Make sure my shoulder. Tell me, I got some good pocket presence. I told Kaiser the other day, the reason I wasn't so good, I was no touch, had no touch at all. I could fireball anywhere. I probably could fireball in that little spot right there.
Okay.
Fireball in there. Well, as soon as you're talking about putting it, some touch on it.
Now, you're a flamethrower.
Flamethrower.
A flamethrower. Okay.
Slants, digs. That's it. That's my best ball.
That's what Kaiser likes to throw, by the way. Likes to put a little mustard on it.
Exactly. Love putting some mustard on it. So.
All right. So let's talk about your journey because, you know, one of the things I remember talking to you earlier, you were a guy that's always had to work for everything. You look at your college. You didn't go right to Minnesota. You went to a junior college. Yep. Then you go to Minnesota. You go to the NFL undrafted. Let's just talk about college starting there. What was that experience like for you knowing, because I know from talking to you, you've always believed you were going to be sitting here. This isn't a surprise to you.
Right.
You're sitting here right,
right
now.
Right.
So how has that process been, and what gave you that belief?
What gave me that belief was knowing that I wasn't. So when I get to Minnesota, I think I'm going to play right away. Everyone thinks they're going to play right away. And first day, I'm welcomed, fade route, caught on me, in one-on-ones. Okay, all right, cool, we're good. So let me get one more. Okay, one more. Another fade route, same exact player, catches it again. And I was like, I'm not ready to play Division I football right now. So from that moment, I knew I wasn't ready, and I did everything it took to get me ready. I wasn't even benching 225. I barely was squatting 315 at the time. So I knew it was a strength and a physical. I needed to get stronger, faster, better, you know.
And that's something you can control.
That's something I can control, you know. So I was like, okay, once I get there, I'm just going to try to do those things, and we'll see where it goes from there. And then the film study, I didn't know how important film was, all these plays. Yeah, I had like 2 plays on defense in high school. He's like, man, or cover 2, you know. So having all those plays and then learning the playbook, I was like, okay. So after a year of Minnesota, getting stronger, faster, all that, a year in the playbook, I started to play way more faster. And I started to watch film with my coach, and he started to teach me how to watch film. And I just took that to a whole nother level. I started watching film on my own, started watching film with my teammates, and I just kind of got addicted to working hard, kind of got addicted to the process of getting better.
Uh-huh.
And as that happened, it just kept going up a notch. It kept going up a notch because I had to learn. I had to work on this. Oh, now you're getting looked at the NFL. They don't think you're physical enough, or they don't think you're fast enough. Okay, now I got to show that I'm fast. Okay, now I got to show that I can make plays. So it was just I've always been a guy in love with the process, and that's why I love football, because there's 16 games. That's 16 days. Out of 365 that we play.
Yep.
Not basketball. Basketball, they're playing 82 games. That's not including playoffs. Baseball, gang of
every
game.
Other day.
Yeah, you know, every other day they're playing. We come out here and play from September, real game, regular season, September to January, guaranteed. That's nothing. That's like, so you got 16 Sundays to put it all on the line. The whole thing is process. The whole thing is preparation. You sit here and you work for 8 months to play for 4 months.
Right.
There's not too many sports like that, you know. Usually you're playing 8 months and you train for 4 months. It's the opposite. We're training 8 months just to play for 4 months, one day a week.
That's right.
One day a week, you know. So when you look at it like that, like you say, you win the Super Bowl in the offseason. You win your starting spot in the offseason. You win the reps in the offseason. And that's when you win it, because by the time the season's here, it's too late, you know. So a little lengthy, but
I like it because it's true, though. I mean, everything you do all week is to prepare for those 3 hours, and you get to do that, as you said, 16 times a year. So the rest of the time, hey, you can always outwork somebody, right?
You just broke it down even 3 hours. Now we're doing all we do for 3 hours a week. 3 hours a week, you know?
Yeah.
So if you prepare right, you know, one play, it only takes one play to lose a game, as you know, in this league. So got to prepare right, because, you know, you never know when it's going to be your last young man's game. And, you know, one play can get you beat.
All right, you go undrafted. What were you thinking?
How is this happening? And then sit on it for a couple of days, and I think this is just another obstacle to obtain. Obviously, this is not the end goal. I think, personally, if I would have gotten drafted, I wouldn't be as good as I am right now.
Okay.
I think I would have been like, yes, this is it, you know. But I think made me hungry. Kick in the butt. Boom, you're not good enough. Nope, you thought you were good enough. You thought you were good enough to get drafted. Nope, they still think you suck. Go.
Then you go to Jacksonville.
Mm-hmm.
And you get another kick in the butt.
Another kick in the butt.
What did they say to you when they brought you in to let you know that, hey, this isn't happening right now?
You're cut. You're fired.
That was it. Not, hey, we like this. You need to work on this. That's it. Thanks for coming.
We really like you. We want you to work on this. They did accept me for practice squad. I will say that. They did bring me back for practice squad. But I knew I wasn't going to make that team, to be honest, from the jump, because I was with a very competitive cornerback group that was experienced.
Yep.
It's different when you're competing against other rookies.
They brought in Amukamara, right?
Yeah. Uh-huh. Amukamara drafted Jalen fifth overall.
Yep.
House just got there the year before.
Yep.
You know, so I'm dealing with four starters that have three starters and a fifth overall pick. You know, so
tough.
That's four locked
tough.
In right there.
Yeah.
Four locked in right there. And then the back three are Nick Marshall, Demetrius McCray, Dwayne Gratz, who have all started on this team last year. So that's seven starters that I'm competing against. You know, you just want to talk about experience and who they trust. I think if I was in their situation, I would trust the guys that I had too, you know. So I wasn't surprised getting cut at all. They did give me a fair opportunity, I will say that, to showcase my talent and stuff. And I will always be grateful and thankful for all that. But they're not Cleveland Browns, though. They didn't say, 53, you're a guy. You know, they didn't say.
What was it like when you got claimed? How'd you find out?
At the laundromat, my agent told me, you know. So me and my girlfriend were there washing clothes, getting ready to go wherever, you know. Don't know where I'm going to end up. And my agent calls me. He's like, have you talked to Cleveland yet? And I'm like, Cleveland? No, we haven't even said anything about Cleveland. He's like, oh, well, they just claimed you off the waivers. And I'm like, that's 53, right? That means I made it. He's like, that's
yes.
Right. Oh, I couldn't. I'm not a crier, so if I was, that would have been a moment to cry, like start bawling. But I'm just like cheek to cheek, you know, let me smile cheek to cheek. And I'm just like, wow, like, this is really about to happen. You know, we don't even care about the laundromat anymore. Keep these clothes here. I just want to go to Cleveland right now. And next thing you know, that night I'm up here.
And you walk into the locker room. What was that first experience like? Joe Hayden was in the locker room at the time. Tremont Williams was there. A couple of veterans.
Mm-hmm.
You come in. Jamar Taylor. What was that like coming in to this room?
Scary, frightening, just because I'm a rookie and I'm like, okay, you obviously just took someone's spot, you know, because that's what you need to do to make
that's the business.
Three man, you know. So I'm like, how accepting is this group going to be? Am I going to come in here? Are they going to be a group that welcomes me? Or are they going to, you know, shun me off? Or are they going to withhold information, you know? And the first day I get here and I walk into the DB room late because I had to go do different stuff. Walk into the DB room, and as soon as I walk in, it was like, hey, we have Brian Body Calhoun here. Everyone in the room was like, what's up, what's up, what's up, what's up, man, what's up? And I was like, I'm supposed to be here. I'm like, this is the room. And from that day, been nothing but great vibes, been nothing but everyone welcoming me with open arms, teaching me stuff, you know, not withholding anything. So it's been amazing here as far as teammates go. It's been an amazing journey, and I just love it here. You know?
I remember talking to players there. Like, everybody loved you. I mean, that was the first thing that everybody said. Was they just instantly loved you. And I bet that makes it a little bit easier when you walked in and you didn't feel like you're walking on eggshells.
Exactly. It makes it 10 times easier. And then, you know, it's a small league, so, you know, once guys found out I was coming up here, you know, you let former teammates know, like, hey, I got this guy coming up here. So Tremont Williams was actually a mentor to Devon House, you know, in Green Bay.
Yep.
So down Jacksonville, he used to talk about Tremont all the time. And so then I end up coming up here. He's like, oh, I'm going to tell Tremont you're coming up there. So I'm coming in the door and Tremont's looking for me, you know. So having that is just amazing, you know, because now I got somebody to look up to right away. You know, so I'm looking up to him, and then you got JT, who's in the film room, and they're like, okay, yeah, he's just like me. So just a whole bunch of guys that are like, that are the same in this organization trying to win. We don't know what we're doing. We don't know the answer. We don't know what's going on last year, but we're trying to win. And I think right there, that just helped us build a brotherhood in general. And now you see that brotherhood flourish, you know, now that we got we're year-end, guys are more experienced, guys have, we got some new coaches, you know, got some good schemes in, and guys are believing in the schemes, playing fast. You know, I mean, it's just amazing, man. It's hard for me to put it into words because I'm still living it. You know, I think after football, I'll be able to write a book on it, but right now, I'm kind of like head over heels, just like wide-eyed, just having
it. So think about walking in that room a year ago, basically.
Mm-hmm.
To where you are right now. And I know you're a person who's had a lot of belief. Did you think that you would go from the new guy in the room to now, after some of the moves were made, if you're not the top two guys, you're certainly the top three guys in that room in 1 year's time?
No, I didn't see it happening that fast, you know. And I'm so, like, short goal. You know, I look at short things because life is just, it's just too, you don't know what's, I try not to look too far ahead, you know. Like, I'm worried about Baltimore right now, you know. I'm not worried about, like, trying to make the Pro Bowl. In order to make the Pro Bowl, I got to do something in Baltimore game.
Right.
You know, and then, so, I like
stack
to look,
it up.
I like to stack them up, you know. So, I never look like, dang, where would I be in a year from now? Just like right now, I'm not looking like, where would I be next September? That's way too far, you know.
Uh-huh.
So, it's just like, you catch it when you look back. You just look back. And now when I look back in a year and how I felt and how I feel right now, it's two different players. It's two different men, two different players, two different people.
You always seem confident to me. You seem very confident and very comfortable.
It's because I'm very prepared.
Uh-huh.
That's why I think that's where the confidence comes from. I can also say, like, if I'm not anxious before a game, it's not okay. So I need some type of fear. I need to fear that this receiver is going to beat me deep to be effective. If not, I'm going to play lazy. I'm going to play, oh, this is easy. And that's when I play terrible. So I never allow myself to get comfortable. I never allow myself to get like that. So I always, always give receivers the benefit of the doubt, you know. So if I'm not anxious before a game, it's not good. And music makes me confident, believe it or not.
All right, what's the song you like to listen to?
Right now, what's the song I like to listen to? There's so many songs I listen to. I can give you artists. I can give you, like, okay, 21 Savage, Logic, Wiz Khalifa, Kanye, Jay-Z, Kendrick.
Okay. You don't have, like, a one go-to that you're like, all right, I need to get in the zone. I'm dialing this up.
I need to get in the zone. I'm dialing this up right now. No, I can't come up.
No? Okay.
I might have some by the end of this, though, because I got a lot of songs, big music guy. So.
Okay. By the way, if it just pops into your head at any
point,
just throw it out there.
Okay, cool.
All right, let's talk a little bit. It is a business, and one of the reasons you're in the position you are is because you earned it. They had confidence in you, and I know that you were tight with Joe Hayden.
Mm-hmm.
That news comes through. Part of it, I'm sure, I'm sad. Yeah. I love Joe Hayden. I'm going to miss him. Part of it has to be, okay, when you read between the lines, they want Brian Boddy Calhoun on the field every play as a force for this defense. How did that make you feel?
Bittersweet. Definitely more bitter than sweet at first. You know, just to hear that I'm losing a brother. You know,
yep.
He's not going to be here no more. So that was just hard to deal with at first. You know, and then after you sit on it a while, you start to look at the business. Okay, this is a business. We understand that. And, okay, that's one less corner that we have in the room. Okay, we'll see what happens with personnel. We didn't talk personnel at the time, but it's like, okay, maybe they do see something in me. I'm not going to sit here and say, oh, yeah, they're putting it all on me right now. I'm not going to put that pressure on,
sure.
on myself. I'm not going to get my hopes that high or nothing because I'm not a decision maker. But it does, but in the back of my mind, I am like, well, if they are putting some stock in my investing something in me, bring it on because I'm ready for it, like you said. So,
what did Greg Williams say to you after that?
He didn't say anything to me. We never discussed the Joe Hayden thing individually.
Really?
Just discussed it as a team. Everybody got it out because Pittsburgh was so quick.
You know?
We didn't really have time to kind of sit here and talk about how we felt individually and dwell on it.
But he didn't come to you and say, hey, look, you're my guy. Let's go.
Mm-mm. We're all his guys. You know,
yeah.
he does a great job. He doesn't single anyone out. He's like next man up. You know, and that's where the injury release, and we've been doing that since he's got here. Someone's down, get the next person in there. You know,
I've always wondered what it's like for you when you came here. You had that very good season, 3 interceptions. I'm sure, you know, we've talked about the Miami interception a lot, so no need to go over it here. That was kind of when you knew, like, all right, I can do this. Take it back to the mm-hmm. house. Mm-hmm. What was it like when you found out your new DB coach was going to be the DB coach from Jacksonville? And not that he makes personnel decisions.
Yeah,
let's be
right.
clear about that.
Mm-hmm, definitely.
But it was like, oh, you see what you got in old Mr. Body Calhoun.
Right. Our relationship was completely different, you know, because, like I said, I'm the 8th corner that in Jacksonville. Here, I'm a guy. And then when he gets here, it's a whole different – I'm in a whole different position. I have so much more film. I'm a different player. But it was weird. It was weird. It's happy because I knew who it was, you know. And we
yep.
have a relationship, you know, but it was weird – in effect of we're going to be on 2 different levels now. You know, before when he was looking at me, I was just a rookie. And now when he's coming here, I'm not a rookie anymore. You know, I'm a guy who's played a lot of time in the NFL and got a lot of experience, you know. So when he was talking to me in Jacksonville, it's like, you need to learn this, you need to learn this, you need to learn this. And when we got here and we started talking when I first saw him here, it's like, oh, okay. Now, oh, I didn't know you could do this. Oh, I see you did it. You did this very well. I didn't know that you could do this and this. And I think it just made where we're at now, it made it better. You know what I'm saying? But initially, when I first found out, I was pretty ecstatic that I knew who it was, to be honest.
Yeah. You know? A little comfort, a little familiarity.
Definitely a little comfort. Now, Greg Williams, on the other hand, I'm in Jacksonville watching Hard Knocks. And I look at my roommate and I say, he could never, ever be my D coordinator talking to me like that. No, he could never be that. Greg Williams is our D coordinator. I'm like, okay.
He seems, from afar, he seems to have a way to be crazy
mm-hmm.
and maybe to get after you,
mm-hmm.
but at the same time, love you and do it in a way that is endearing. And I don't know that I've ever seen anything like it, because I think from afar, you watch it just like you're...
Yeah, he's insane.
Don't come at me like that. I'm a grown-up.
Right, exactly.
But
right.
then there's something about the way he does it that seems like it works.
It's because it's the intent. It's the intent behind it. It's different when someone's yelling at you to hurt your feelings or yelling at you to belittle you. He's not doing that. He's yelling at you to motivate you. He's yelling at you to let you know that he has more confidence in you. He's letting you know that you're a better player than that. That's why he's yelling at you, you know. And a bad coach will do exactly what he does, but not explain why he's doing it. So he does a good job of explaining why. I'm doing this. I'm yelling at you because I've seen you make thousands of plays like this, and this is not the player you are. You know, so that's why he's yelling at us. And when you get a coach that cares about the game and knows the game and cares about the little things
sure.
like that, you're gonna play hard, and you're gonna want to play for a coach like that. You know?
And he treats everybody the same.
So exactly the same. That's when we talked about the Joe situation.
Yeah.
You know, he didn't come in and individualize me like, okay, Bonnie, like now it's on you now. Like you got to take Joe. No, we didn't take. It's like next man up. Who's the next man? We'll talk about it. You know, and you know, J Mac have no problem with J Mac deserves to be the starter. I feel like J Mac and JT deserve to be the starter. They both prove quality. They both prove that they're quality players in this league.
Sure.
You know what I'm saying? On the outside.
And we know, by the way, 3 corners are on the field all the time in the NFL. There are 3 starters.
Exactly.
There are not 2 starters
exactly.
anymore.
There are 3 starters in this league now, you know. So letting them guys handle what they do best on outside, let them do that coaching. Then you want to place me wherever, safety, nickel, corner, do whatever you please with me. I just want to be on the field. I just want to have fun and play football. That's all.
All right, we're going to get into a little bit more stuff here, but this has been so much fun. We've taken up pretty much all the time already. We haven't even gotten into any of the outside stuff, but it's been fascinating. You're going to have to come back on another edition of the
Girls. That's fine. That's fine.
And we'll pick it up where we left off. But I want to get into a couple things. Game one, you guys go out there. We know what happened in the preseason with the national anthem. We know what a big story it was. Mm-hmm. What was it like to run out onto the field and be a part of that with the video, run onto the field with the police officers, the armed forces people, have Tony Dungy that night go on Football Night in America and say what the Cleveland Browns did on Sunday is what every team in the NFL should be doing and what every city in the NFL should be doing? What was that like as an experience for you as a player?
Great experience. It shows just how connected football is to the world, you know, and how much sports can connect you to real world situations and real world things, you know. And for us to go out there and display unity with the police, with, you know, people, we got like the Navy SEALs that come to, to show unity with all these people going into the community, going to schools and stuff. It shows that we're bridging the gap, that we're all the same, regardless of nothing. We're all the same. We all do the same things. We're all humans, you know, and that's number one. So I think here we're just trying to, you know what I mean, scratch the surface a little bit with stuff and trying to find out ways to build the gap, you know what I mean, to be that bridge between us and the community. I think we're trying to find different ways to do that.
Sure.
But I think we're on the right track, though.
Yeah.
You know, and I think for Tony Dungy to say that about our team, great. And, you know, he's a Minnesota guy, so I'm a little biased about that. But actually, you saying that was the first time me hearing that. But hearing you saying it, it made me feel really good about my brothers, about my team, about my organization. For someone of his caliber to say that about our organization makes me feel really good.
Yeah, just for me being able to be on the sideline, I was right there with you guys, obviously not arm in arm, but standing, you know, a few feet away, and to see the owners and the players and the armed forces and it was a powerful moment. And then you get a flyby, and who doesn't like a good flyover? That gets me every time. I'm not gonna lie, I'm not a crier, but week one of the season, even last year in Philly it happened, you get that flyover, I get a little misty, I get the goosebumps, I'm getting them right now. It just is like, man.
It's funny that you say it, because I literally told my family the day before, like, y'all get to see the flyby.
It's my favorite thing.
You get to see the flyby. It's the game. Game one, I think I was most excited about the flyby probably than playing the Pittsburgh Steelers. Just initially.
Yeah, the flyby. It's amazing.
I probably was like, this is the whole next game. Where's it going?
I get so excited.
And I didn't know if it was going to be Jets. I didn't know if it was going to be the last year.
Sometimes
we had
the big plane.
Oh, no, that was my first time seeing it. That was amazing. Just a one big plane.
The diamond of the four F-16s is pretty strong, though.
I don't know the names.
That's so what it see. Was this week.
Okay, you're going to teach me. Yeah. So I'm going to have to go off the notes. Watch some film on that.
All right, we have your whole life, pop culture-wise, to get into video games. I know you're a big fan of Destiny. That's going to have to be for the next installment, so I'm going to leave it with one thing so people can get a little bit more. I couldn't help but notice, as I sit next to you, you have a lot of tattoos.
A lot of tattoos.
Okay, give me maybe your favorite.
Favorite?
Start with your favorite. And then, and if it's the same, I'll have to, this question, different question, but
okay.
And the one that means the most to you, because they can be different.
Okay. Mean that most or both, that's hard. Okay. My favorite tattoo, I would have to say, is probably this one. This one right here, which is my Journey tattoo.
Okay.
So I kind of...
Did you do this all at once, or did you start it each step of the way?
No, I started each step of the way. So I just had this at first.
Okay.
And then I kind of came through. But this right here, this is my Journey. So this is high school, Del Castle Technical High School. From there, I went to Coffeyville Community College. Went to Minnesota, and then, got the shield, you know, and this, and then on the back, it says undrafted here. So
wow.
So this half sleeve right here is a testament of what I went through, you know, to get where I am today. And,
okay.
I got undrafted big and,
you did?
You know, insane looking, as you can see. Just so I never forget, you know, I didn't want to get like undrafted. No, I wanted to get it big. I will never forget. Every morning I see that tattoo. So that's probably my most meaningful, my favorite one is this Chucky piece.
I was going to say, obviously, I was going to ask. If we didn't get to it, I was asking, what is the deal? And by the way, let me just say, can I tell you what my favorite is?
What's that?
House Stark.
House of Stark.
House Stark
House
right
Stark.
There. Are
House
you
of
kidding
Stark.
Me? We could do a whole other one on just Game of Thrones.
House of Stark.
You might have to come in the next couple weeks in a row. We have so much of you. You have a lightsaber. I was going to talk about your
I got a horse. Got a whole Star Wars, Darth Boca, Star Wars fan, obviously. Yep.
We have a lot to get into. So, okay, so Chucky, give me the story on Chucky.
Chucky, terrified of him growing up.
Well, yeah.
But I could not stop looking at the screen for some reason. So I just always been infatuated with Chucky. And then I think we have so much the same. I'm not a murderer, though, so don't
good.
Tell me.
No, no, no.
We're not the same in that aspect.
Le'Veon Bell might disagree with
he you. Might think he I'm might something disagree. Like Chucky, right. But, you know. Uh-huh. So just short guy, you know what I mean? Little midget, super scary, though, you know. I would not want to walk into a room and see Chucky there. You know what I'm saying?
No, so, I would run out just of like I don't like dolls, period.
Me either. So dolls.
Out.
Dolls out. Now you talk about talking dolls like killing people, we're definitely out.
My daughter had gotten this collection handed down from generations of these like porcelain dolls.
No.
And she wanted them in her room. And honest to God, I was like, absolutely not.
No.
They are going to wake up and kill us all. Absolutely not.
No, no.
Terrifying.
To this day, every time I go downstairs and it's dark, I think Chucky's going to come out. So, I don't know.
You could take Chucky at this point. I'm going to be honest with you.
I'm pretty sure I can. Especially in some pads.
Yeah.
Especially in some pads.
Okay.
He's just short, fierce, and I think that's kind of what I embody. You know, and I'm just a movie guy. I love movies. So,
I'm telling you, the next one is going to be no football whatsoever. Next one, we're going all away from football.
Let's do it.
We got to get there. Okay. Three quick questions.
Okay.
Yes or no, or one-word answers. One-word answer. We're going to start this. Is prime rib the king of all the meats?
No.
What is the king of all the meats, in your opinion?
Fried chicken.
Fried chicken? I don't even know if that's eligible to be considered in the pantheon.
No. You're right. No. You said of all meats?
Of all the meats. Prime rib is the king of all the meats, but in my opinion, that's one man's
opinion.
I don't
eat pork.
Pork? Prime rib is beef.
Oh, you're right.
It's like a ribeye, but it's roasted, and then you get the au jus. It's a delight.
Don't. I knew that.
That was just for,
I just
you're
forgot.
Just keeping them on there to make sure they're paying attention.
It was something about the rib that threw me
okay.
off. It was
yeah,
something
yeah. about the rib. Not like sparrows, right. This is but, like ribs. This is a big hunk of medium rare beef with some au jus. It's delightful.
No.
But you can still say no. This is your world.
No.
Like if I was a person with a lot of tattoos, I would have a prime rib tattoo on me. It's true. I would.
I guess I should get a big slice of pizza because I love pizza. The best type of meat you can eat. I'm going to say a good steak type of steak. I'm going to go ribeye.
Okay, so we're in the same family.
Nice ribeye.
We're in the same family. It's the same cut. I just have it roasted medium ribeye. Okay,
medium.
I like
there
that. Mm-hmm. All right, next one.
Medium ribeye.
Should tipped passes that lead to an interception be counted as half of an interception or an interception assist?
No.
You would have one of these. You'd be leading the league right now.
I know, but then I have to give them the people that tipped them to me, too, and I don't want to do that.
Well, you still get the interception.
So Derek gets one whole one.
But it's just a whole
get
it's
a half
a new stat. Right.
Oh, new stat. Yes, definitely.
To acknowledge what happened.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Because, frankly, you look in the stat sheet, you see a pass defense. That's great. We love passes defense.
We do.
But we don't know that this one actually led to a turnover.
Exactly, yes.
This needs to be a stat.
Yes, assisted interception, okay. Assisted fumble.
That needs to be a stat. All right, last one. What are Saturdays for? Or who are Saturdays for? It's from Barstool Sports, so if you're not a Barstool guy, I might have to help you out.
Yeah, you're going to have to help me out on this one.
The boys.
The boys.
Saturdays are for the boys.
Saturdays are for the boys.
Yes, and we're going to turn this into Sundays are for the Browns. That's coming. You heard it here first.
There we go.
Let's do it.
Okay.
Brianne Body Calhoun, I want to thank you so much for coming into the Zagura Zone. You're going to have to come back, though. This is part one of a two-parter.
Part one.
And you, by next time, you have to know this song.
Okay.
The pump-up song.
Pump-up song.
All right. Ladies and gentlemen, thanks so much for coming with us in the Zagura Zone. We're going to be doing this every Wednesday, all season long, sitting down, getting to know the people that you love on your Cleveland Browns. Thanks for watching.